This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is day two of the president's latest impeachment trial. And this one, obviously, far more dramatic, at least so far, far more impactful than the first impeachment trial, which was, believe it or not, a year ago. Doesn't it seem like another era entirely? This is a different set of, this is a different cast of characters. And that is very, very striking with the proceedings this morning. We'll be speaking about all of this with Ken Starr, the former Solicitor General of the United States. Of course, he was involved in the Clinton impeachment. The Clinton impeachment was based upon his work as a special prosecutor. I want to ask him about the impact of this and the future of the whole process of impeachment. We've had two impeachments during President Trump's term. Does that mean we'll get more of that? Marjorie Taylor Greene has already introduced an impeachment resolution against Joe Biden. Should he? Will he be impeached? We'll speak about that with Judge Starr. And we'll also be speaking later on with Andy McCarthy of the National Review, veteran federal prosecutor and a strong supporter of President Trump. What does he think about the process so far? There is one thing about the president's legal team so far, particularly Bruce Castor, who was the first of the president's two attorneys to speak yesterday. He managed in a way that I don't think anyone could possibly have anticipated to completely unite Republicans and Democrats, to unite President Trump and Nancy Pelosi and Jamie Raskin and Lindsey Graham and virtually everyone, and bring them entirely together. On what point? On the fact that he was a complete bust. Bruce Castor did not do a good job. He, I still don't know what he was trying to get at. And the one thing he did, which apparently got Trump himself fuming, at least according to reports, is Bruce Castor, the president's lawyer, in the midst of an impeachment proceeding, where at least prior coverage before this proceeding began had said that the president was going to try to make a case that he was right to contest a stolen election. The election was, in fact, stolen. He really did win by a landslide. And, of course, he was persuaded by cooler heads not to insist on going in that direction. But I don't think he was ready for this, which is from Bruce Castor, the president's attorney, yesterday. He hasn't spoken yet today. We will listen to him when he does. Here was the president's attorney speaking on the floor of the Senate in the midst of the impeachment trial yesterday. This is clip 12.
And the reason that I am having trouble with the argument is the American people just spoke. And they just changed administrations. So in the light most favorable to my colleagues on the other side of the aisle here, their system works. The people are smart enough, in the light most favorable to them, they're smart enough to pick a new administration if they don't like the old one. And they just did. And he's down there at Pennsylvania Avenue now, probably wondering, how come none of my stuff is happening up at the Capitol?
That was Bruce Castor, the president's attorney. He went on in that regard. At least he recognizes that the election happened and it was legitimate. This morning, what was very striking about the entire proceeding is that I think that a lot of people had anticipated that the Democrat impeachment managers, who, by the way, every single one of them, they are much better prepared. They are much more effective than Adam Schiff and company were in the last impeachment. These folks have organized it. They've put it together, and they're making the best possible case they can. And one of the points that they're using to make that case is not to focus on the president's 70-minute speech at the Ellipse in Washington, D.C., outside the White House on January 6th. Because in that speech, as I think fair-minded people will acknowledge, there were contradictory messages. At one point, he did say he wanted to see the protesters march up Pennsylvania Avenue into the Capitol building. He said peacefully and patriotically. That's different from inciting violence. In other passages in that same speech that were played, the president said that we have to fight like hell, otherwise we're not going to have a country anymore. Okay, what does that mean? Does that mean literally fight like hell? There was a lot of hellish fighting in there and a lot of injury. 140 cops who needed medical attention, losing three fingers, losing an eye. This is horrible, horrible stuff, and I think that we're going to be getting more video. At least that's what the Democratic managers are saying. The point that they are making today, and I think it's one of those points that may be giving some pause to the president's defenders. The point they're making today is it just wasn't January 6th. It was saying, going all the way back to before the election, that he wasn't going to accept the result and that he would fight against the result and use every means possible. And one of the questions that I do hope that the defenders of the president and that his attorneys will try to answer is, with all this talk of fighting and summoning people to Washington, D.C., 3 weeks in advance of the big January 6th Stop the Steal, Save America march, what is it the president had in mind? What did he think would happen when they got to the Capitol building? In other words, there's no question that he asked them to march to the Capitol building. The president did that repeatedly. So what did he think? What would be the right answer on something like this? What did he think would happen? He knew that they wouldn't be welcomed inside the Capitol building. They have pretty strict regulations and very careful limitations on the number of people who can be accommodated in the gallery of the House chamber. That's where the joint session of Congress was taking place before it was interrupted. Did he think that they would stop a joint session of Congress? How? And one of the things that I believe they're going to be presenting later, and it may be with witnesses, but of course if they call witnesses, the Democrats, the House managers who are prosecuting this impeachment, then of course it's possible for the Republicans to call their own witnesses. And if they do that, then I think that one of the things that they will be concentrating on is not just what happened before that speech by the president, all of the long setup and the many tweets, and when I say many tweets, there are hundreds, that suggest things that simply aren't true. That, for instance, one of the things that was brought up this morning had to do with the population of the city of Detroit. President Trump has said repeatedly, and he's tweeted repeatedly, that there were more voters who voted in Detroit than the total population of the city. It's not true. The city has a population three times the number of voters who were counted, and almost double the number of registered voters they have than the number of voters who were counted there. That sort of provocation is part of what was outlined in the Democratic assault this morning. So we'll tune in when the Republicans respond, when the president's attorneys respond. How would you respond? What would be your strongest defense for President Trump in this impeachment case? 1-800-955-1776. We'll be right back with some highlights and lowlights of the morning session coming up.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. For a limited time, you can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for the lowest price ever. Regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. MyPillow is patented and adjusts to any sleep position. It's washable and dryable, comes with a 10-year warranty, and 100% made in the USA. I'm also giving you deep discounts on all my MyPillow products, including my bed sheets, mattress toppers, and bath towels. That's $29.98 for a queen-size premium MyPillow and deep discounts on all my MyPillow products. Buy now and I'll extend my 60-day money-back guarantee to March 1st, 2021.
Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At TCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Michael Medved Show, Representative Stacey Plaskett is speaking now on behalf of the Democrats. She's one of the impeachment managers. She is the delegate Grew up in a projects, apparently, in New York City, but she is the delegate of the U.S. Virgin Islands to the Congress of the United States. That means she's not a voting member of Congress, but she is presenting part of the Democratic case. There are a number of points that were made this morning, particularly by Joe Neguse of Colorado and by Jamie Raskin, the lead impeachment manager, that were very tough. What Joe Neguse laid out is that there were really three aspects of this that they're going to be talking about. And I'm going to go to your calls in just a moment, 1-800-955-1776. Number one, the provocation, which is the long period of time dating back to before the election for President Trump preparing people to resist the election. He said long before the election, months before, that if we don't win, then you'll know the election was rigged. And he prepared people for that idea. Number two in the Democratic presentation was the attack, which was really about the attack itself and the president's response after it happened. In other words, it was hours before the president, who was very aware that there was a very large crowd that was ransacking the Capitol, before the president said anything against it or anything to discourage the attack. And then the last part, the harm, which they haven't really gotten to yet. I think that's probably coming later in their presentation. Let's go to Ryan in Salt Lake City, Utah. Ryan, you're on the MedVed Show.
Hi, Michael. I don't know if this point has been made yet or not, but along the lines of what you were just saying, you know, the defenders can say phrases like fight like hell and things like that could be taken figuratively. But one thing he said I think is very damaging to him is he said when there's been so much fraud that's happened, then it's okay for us to play by a different set of rules. That seems to be implying that, you know, any means necessary and justifying the violence.
Yeah, they played that. Actually, they played it, I think, several times. And I think you're right about that. It's the difficult point here is, and I was trying to figure this out because, look, the two lawyers for President Trump and David Schoen was a little bit better, but neither of them were effective yesterday at all. And they have to do better today. I mean, President Trump is going to insist on it. He apparently was not happy with the way things went yesterday. And the question is, what would you say if you were representing President Trump? What would you say in his behalf?
I guess the best defense was laid out by Alan Dershowitz yesterday that, you know, he didn't explicitly say, I command you to go storm and break in, and then therefore it kind of falls under the First Amendment, I guess.
Well, there's actually an answer that that Jamie Raskin gave on that First Amendment issue. And this has to do with a famous opinion written by Justice of the Supreme Court, Associate Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, where he said nobody has a First Amendment right to yell fire in a crowded theater. If you are doing something that you know is going to cause harm, that is not protected speech. And here is what Jamie Raskin said in response to exactly the point. That's an excellent point and good for you. Ryan, thank you for the call. Here is the point that Jamie Raskin, the representative from Maryland, the lead impeachment manager, that he made this morning. This would be clip 8A.
Worse than someone who falsely shouts fire in a crowded theater. It's more like a case where the town fire chief, who's paid to put out fires, sends a mob not to yell fire in a crowded theater, but to actually set the theater on fire. And who then, when the fire alarms go off and the calls start flooding into the fire department asking for help, does nothing but sit back, encourage the mob to continue its rampage, and watch the fire spread on TV with glee and delight. So then we say this fire chief should never be allowed to hold this public job again, and you're fired and you're permanently disqualified, and he objects. And he says, we're violating his free speech rights just because he's pro-mob or pro-fire or whatever it might be. Come on. I mean, you really don't need to go to law school to figure out what's wrong with that argument.
Okay, that's Jamie Raskin this morning, and then he made this point on that issue of free speech, which was being strongly pushed yesterday by the president's attorneys. This is a clip 8B.
Here's the key. Undoubtedly, a private person can run around on the street expressing his or her support for the enemies of the United States and advocating the overthrow of the United States government. You've got a right to do that under the First Amendment. But if the president spent all of his days doing that, uttering the exact same words, expressing support for the enemies of the United States and for overthrowing the government, is there anyone here who doubts that this would be a violation of his oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and that he or she could be impeached for doing that?
And by the way, that is the basis for their impeachment. They are stressing the idea that this incitement to insurrection is a violation of his oath of office. And knowingly misrepresenting aspects of the election would be part of that. Let's go to Ron in Detroit. Ron, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi, Michael. Long-time listener.
Thank you so much.
You asked what he should have expected people to do, and I think he should have expected what 95% of the people who were there did, and that's behave lawfully. My brother was there. I have some women who from our church were there. None of them violated any laws the entire time they were there.
Right. By the way, I have a column coming out in Newsweek, I think, tomorrow, which makes precisely that point. Most people who support Trump are not Proud Boys. They're not QAnon people. They're not Boogaloo Boys or crazies. They're good, solid, hardworking, patriotic American citizens. And it's wrong to try to claim that the thugs, and there were thousands of them, but that they represented everybody who was there. But here's my underlying question. Is President Trump did suggest very directly that he thought that they could stop the certification, that somehow marching up to Capitol Hill would effectively stop the certification and, quote, stop the steal and send the election back to the states. If you want to hang on, I'd love for you to answer how that possibly could have happened. How did President Trump expect that to happen if he didn't expect some kind of violence? They're also very obsessed in the discussion this morning with the idea of cavalry, not Calvary, cavalry. We'll tell you why coming up on the Medved Show.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. Here's just one example of what you can get with a free subscription from Avid Market Highlights Report. With gold prices hitting new highs in 2020, investors are just beginning to push into junior gold miner stocks. And we want to send you research that can position you to win with this red-hot gold stock opportunity in the market. Text WIN to 48542 for more info on gold miner investment opportunities now with your free subscription to Market Highlights Report. Text the word WIN to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the winningest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word WIN to 48542. Text WIN to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text WIN to 48542.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. The White House is defending the goal to reopen schools at least one day a week in Biden's first 100 days in office. Press Secretary Jen Psaki is backing the bar and saying it's the floor.
The president wants to not just open schools, he wants them to stay reopened. He wants kids to be back in school learning 5 days a week. He wants everybody, parents to feel safe, teachers to feel safe.
Back in December, Biden said a majority of the schools would be open in the first 100 days of his presidency. House impeachment managers continue to argue that former President Trump did nothing to stop the violence at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Colorado Democrat Joe Nagu said Trump told his supporters to save the date so they could stop the steal.
He was telling Americans that their vote had been stolen. And in America, our vote is our voice.
USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Michael Medved Show, one of the key issues that hasn't been focused on explicitly on the floor of the Senate this morning, but will be, I'm almost sure, is, okay, Trump specifically asked people to come to Washington. He asked them to march up Pennsylvania Avenue. He asked them to march to the Capitol building. What did he expect would happen when they got there? And he did say all this was in the context of stopping the certification, stopping the steal, and making sure that Mike Pence actually did something that Mike Pence had already said he wouldn't do, which is to try to unconstitutionally intervene with the counting of already certified electoral votes. Ron in Detroit, I think, made a very good point that most of the people who had arrived in Washington, D.C. for the protest were law-abiding. It was a minority that actually assaulted the Capitol building. But what do you think President Trump actually had in mind?
Well, of course we don't know. But either he had in mind what happened, and if that's what you think he had in mind, then you have to say he thought that that would somehow change the results. And I just can't believe anybody would have expected that what happened would lead to a, you know, Mike Pence doing something different. Would they have gone down and made enough noise outside where Mike Pence may have had second thoughts about what he was going to do? I think that's certainly more likely what he thought might happen than yes, some people are going to storm the Capitol, and, oh, look, we'll make, we'll declare Trump the president. I just don't, you can't, if you're going to go down that road a little bit, you got to go down that road all the way.
And yeah, I think what you're saying, I basically I agree with you, Ron. I don't think that President Trump sent the people marching up Pennsylvania Avenue expecting that they were going to break glass and murder cops and really create a very, very dark day. But I do think he sent them up Pennsylvania Avenue thinking that they would intimidate the people who were inside the Capitol. In other words, if in the middle of the proceedings, when, remember, they were in the middle when they were interrupted of airing the challenges to the votes in Arizona and Pennsylvania. And that at some point or another, I suppose, in Trump's dream version of things, people would say, wait a minute, the people, as represented by thousands and thousands of people outside, are really against us on this. Maybe we better send it back to the states or something like that. But one of the things, I mentioned the word cavalry, and this was brought up by several of the speakers this morning, is there's an organization called Stop the Steal on the Internet that's run by a woman named Kylie Kremer. And she had said, Mr. Trump, don't worry, we're going to send in the cavalry. The cavalry's coming on January 6th. And they're making a big deal out of, well, okay, what does that mean? The cavalry's coming on January 6th. And again, to say that all of this was incoherent and irresponsible, I think is without question true. But the real question that the senators are facing, and it's a difficult call, I think, for Republican senators, is, okay, it was irresponsible, it was brain dead, it was nuts, it was crazy, but was it criminal? Was it a high crime and misdemeanor? Was it impeachable? And honestly, I mean, there's a piece in Politico. I appreciate your call very much, Ron. Thank you. 1-800-955-1776, our phone number. And I'm, again, leaving it open because, and it shouldn't be hard. I am certain that we have callers who could make a better defense for President Trump, just as Ron did, than we heard yesterday from particularly Bruce Castor, but also David Schoen, who was basically talking about a matter of legal opinion where the overwhelming majority of legal scholars are on the other side. That question about whether you can, in fact, do something that the Congress of the United States has done before, the Senate of the United States has done before, which is try somebody who's already left office. And so with all that there were six Republicans who voted with all of the Democrats to continue with this trial yesterday, including Bill Cassidy of Louisiana. Now, Dr. Cassidy was a distinguished physician before he was a U.S. Senate, and he's very thoughtful, fine, a very strong conservative representative from a very conservative state. And here's what he said yesterday about when he spoke to the media about Trump's lawyers and their presentation. This is clip 5A.
Listen to it. It speaks for itself. It was disorganized, random, had nothing. They talked about many things, but they didn't talk about the issue at hand. And so if I'm an impartial juror and I'm trying to make a decision based upon the facts as presented on this issue, then the House managers did a much better job.
Senator, how about the video of the mob attack on the Capitol?
That is not the issue at hand. The issue at hand is it constitutional to impeach a president who's left office? And the House managers made a compelling, cogent case, and the president's team did not.
Well, I think that's true. He then added this, clip 5B.
You wish they addressed the past press arrest of the president of, you know, the William Bell Path and all.
They did.
The Trump's team?
Trump's team. Yeah. You know, I took notes. I always take notes. But at one point I leaned over to Cruz and I said, Cruz, are they talking to the point at hand? He goes, not now. So, you know, because I'm thinking, maybe I'm missing something. And again, if I'm there as an impartial juror, respecting my oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and one side makes the argument and the other side does everything but make the argument, then to live with myself, I make that vote. I've always said I'm approaching this as an impartial juror.
That's Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, one of the six Republicans who voted to continue with the trial yesterday. Look, rockstar Greg Tomlin reminded me my very first reaction when we were covering the long, wandering, completely incomprehensible opening statement for the president's legal team by Bruce Castor. I mean, I said on air, I have no idea where he's going with this. And that, I think, is still true. I have no idea what he was trying to do. Speaking, by the way, ad-libbed and without notes, which is never a good idea. So the best defense for President Trump, I think the defense is actually been suggested by a Democrat, and we will get to that. It's actually not a Democrat that I like very much, and but it may come down to that as this trial continues. There's also the New York Times acknowledging that Americans are, as they always are on issues involving the 45th president of the United States, deeply, deeply divided. But one point on which Americans are not divided is, I think, don't we all admire Abraham Lincoln? And now there is a school official who says Abraham Lincoln is not a hero. If Abraham Lincoln is not a hero, do we have anyone who is? We will get to that and more coming up. 1-800-955-1776 here at the Michael Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Many people own coins that have not performed as well as they had hoped they would, but markets change and you should get a new valuation. Maybe the coins have done better with current moves in precious metals, or maybe you want to do something else with that money. Let me tell you about my friend Nick Vrovich. He's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion. For over 40 years, Nick has built a reputation for trust, honesty, and his goal is to earn your business for life. He won't push you to sell, but when you're ready, he offers the best prices, trades, and consignment deals in America. Right now, Nick and the Amfed team are offering their exclusive coin performance review totally free. Yes, totally free with a no-pressure guarantee from Nick. Go online at AmericanFederal.com or call 800-221-7694. That's AmericanFederal.com and 800-221-7694. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Washington today is probably the meanest and most partisan I've ever seen.
America beats the crap out of us, but we love our country.
We've always had partisanship. We've never had this level of dysfunction.
We live in a zero-sum world. We are absolutely convinced that for one side to get ahead, the other side has got to lose.
And we have to come together by breaking the habit of contempt.
We've proven as a nation, you give us a mountain to climb, we'll show you how to climb it.
This new film, now available on Starz, Apple TV, YouTube, Vimeo, Google Play. For more information, visit StarsAndStrife.com.
Right now is a great time to become a medhead at MichaelMedved.com. And what do you get for your money? The 3-hour daily broadcast, commercial free, show archives going back over 5 years, all of Michael's current commentaries as well as commentary archives, added discounts at the MedVet History Store, and a Listen Live tab where you can catch all of the news and Michael's views that are happening in real time. Go to the website, click the MedHead banner, and sign up today. Make sure to use the promo code WINTER40.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to see one, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Michael Medved show. I can explain something. This is sort of inside baseball stuff about doing this show, but I know that there are people who want to know. At least I know my brother, who listens to the show carefully, my brother Harry in California. He has busted my chops a number of times, and you probably have noticed this. Occasionally, you'll hear a ringing phone. And usually, it's one ring, and then I unplug the phone, which I should remember to do before the show. Because I have been doing the show at home because of the pandemic, calls come through. And a call just came through to remind me to unplug the phone during the break.
Please hang up those calls. And try your call again.
Yeah, well, it was on, and the call was a recorded call. Hello, and please don't hang up. Click. I hate that. I wish there were some way to protect Americans definitively from that. And yes, right. As Jeremy said, at least people are not hearing toilet flushing in the background. They're not, because... Oh, see, so Jeremy plays a sound effect. Thanks very much, Jeremy. It's a different... That's a different part of the house. You know, we have that out back, right? I saw a movie. We'll be reviewing it Friday with Robin Wright that features an outhouse out back and a bear. Well, okay, that should get your interest. Let me go to John in Newcastle, Washington. John, you're on the Michael Medved show.
Michael, thanks for your program today. Thanks for having me on. I have my basic concern here is the lack of fairness in this trial procedure, that the charges were brought by Democrats, the prosecutors are Democrats, the judge is a Democrat, half of the jury are Democrats, and yet they're all sworn to, you know, conduct a fair process, and I don't believe it at all. I don't think that anything that goes against everything that I've ever known in my life about legal trials, et cetera. It just doesn't seem right, and I have a question to follow.
Except Sure, but here's the difference. This is set up by the Constitution. The Constitution says even if the U.S. Senate is all Democrats, it's the U.S. Senate that gets to be the jury. If you're trying an impeachment, there's no way to avoid this. The one thing that I think is questionable, and where I agree with you, is it's ridiculous to have a veteran Democrat who's already said he thinks the president is guilty presiding over this. They should at least find some basis for having someone other than Pat Leahy of Vermont as the presiding officer. Now, you had one more question or point to make?
Yes. My question is this appealable to the Supreme Court if he was to be convicted?
Absolutely not. No. The Supreme Court would never touch it. And I will tell you, if he is convicted and then they take that additional vote to say that they are ruling out the chance of him running for office or holding public office again. And then if he wanted to run for office and actually tried to declare himself as a candidate, then before he was put on the ballot somewhere, that could make it to court. And by the way, do I think that President Trump, if in the very unlikely event, and it's very, very unlikely that he will actually be convicted in this tribunal. And, but if he were then and he wanted to run again, that part would be appealable. But the guilty verdict that he would go down as the only president ever to be impeached and removed from office, even though he's out of office already, that's not appealable. Appreciate your call. We were talking before about the best defense strategy. And the best defense strategy, frankly, would involve not an attempt to defend the president's behavior, but rather to acknowledge that he made terrible mistakes on January 6th, basically to walk away from the idea that he was trying to stop a stolen election or that the state election was stolen or rigged, and basically to make the case that all of that is true, that the president made mistakes, but mistakes are not impeachable. The question is, did it constitute a high crime or misdemeanor? By the way, I think you can make an argument that it did. But the president would be on much stronger ground if he didn't have what I know troubles a number of the Republicans who already have voted against him on the first vote, and probably there'll be maybe even a somewhat larger number who vote against him in the final vote. Not enough to get him convicted. But there are a great many people, and I think fair-minded people everywhere, who are saying this, which is, look, this entire disaster, there are 300 people who were arrested so far and being prosecuted. There will probably be hundreds more. If they believed that the president was accountable, then somehow there has to be some kind of accountability from the president. And what the Democrats are saying to their Republican colleagues is, you can't let this go. The bad behavior, the lies, the constant attempts to invalidate what was a valid and certified election. President used 61 different days in court, and of which he won none. He won one minor point about curing ballots in Pennsylvania. But that was all. And no one, not even his own attorney general, said that there was enough evidence of fraud here to even come close to overturning the election. So, given the fact that that is really at the core of what he's being accused of, is deliberately distorting. What there needs to be is some means, and I was mentioning before, Tim Kaine, the Democrat from Virginia, former vice presidential nominee with Hillary Clinton, has favored a censure. And frankly, the best way to bring the country together is to find some means, and whether it is a censure vote or some kind of other new initiative that doesn't divide us, that this is either going to damn President Trump to all eternity, or it is going to acquit him and he'll be exonerated and he'll be victorious and have the wind in his sails and he'll be encouraged to run again in 2024. There has to be a middle ground, and a middle ground that acknowledges that the president behaved very irresponsibly, profoundly irresponsibly. And you can't listen to this evidence and the tweets and the statements and the tape, and particularly the evidence of that horrible day that our center of our government, the center of our democracy, was attacked. You can't view that and say it's okay. No big deal. It was a big deal. And I do hope that the president's defenders, and maybe in some of their comments, some of the Republican senators who are 100% determined to defend President Trump, partially because it is emphatically in their political interest to do so. We will get to that. There's a piece in Politico about the political minefield that impeachment represents for all of the presidential contenders for 2024. Many of them who were right there, there are at least six members of this Senate jury, so-called, who are going to be voting on the article of impeachment against President Trump. And there's these six members of the Senate who are seriously considering races for the presidency. There have been some other declarations of candidacy for some open Senate seats that are coming up. And more politics. There is a report on new polling about impeachment, which we will get to. We'll also be speaking to Ken Starr, the former prosecutor in the Bill Clinton impeachment. He was not part of the impeachment itself, but the entire case against Bill Clinton was based on Ken Starr's report. What does he think the best outcome would be for this entire process for the country? We'll also be speaking to veteran prosecutor, National Review editor Andy McCarthy, and much more coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles. My crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool.
Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.